glad that we're a child of the King, and praise the Lord for that. And what a wonderful song. And veterans, thank you so much for being here today. And I've always loved Veterans Day, and the videos always get to me. And I praise the Lord for America. Thank God for the red, white, and blue. Thank God for our freedom. And may we never take it for granted. And I thank God that I live in America. I wouldn't want to be living anywhere else. Amen. And I thank God, especially America. And then when you add West Virginia on top of that, almost heaven. I mean, it's a wonderful place to be. And I thank God for all of that. And I know we were a little messed up with the guest and acknowledging our guest in the order of service today. If you are somehow a guest and you're in here today, right after the service, Brother and Mrs. Grant will be in the foyer, and they'd love to give you a gift. And so maybe if you were a little shy, you didn't raise your hand a moment ago, please go back to the welcome desk and they'll greet you after the service and give you a gift. And so I don't know about you, but I like a free gift. And so go head on back there. Even if you're not a guest, maybe you can go back and Brother Grant might give you a gift. And so he was giving gifts away a few weeks ago during missions conference. Did y'all see that? I mean, he had a pile of stuff he was giving away. And so praise the Lord for that. You know, I remember growing up, it was often a joke about, you know, getting out in time to beat the Methodist to the restaurant. Y'all remember that? And we used to joke about that. And here lately, I it's a blessing to make it to supper on time. And pastor's watching somewhere. I better be watching what I say, but we're walking in as they're walking out. That's the way it's been here recently, right? But anyways, today I can assure you that we might beat them to the restaurant today. All right, we might beat them to the restaurant. And so go ahead and get your phone, put the reserve on, you know, and order the pizza. And because we'll be done 30 minutes. Or it's on me, right? Is that the way it is? And Domino's used to do something like that, right? I don't think they do that anymore, but praise the Lord. I won't be long today, but I want to give us a challenge. And we looked in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 6, and this is a very familiar passage, obviously these three verses. The Bible says, let's look at it again. If you shut your Bible, open it back up, Proverbs chapter number 6 and verse number 6. The Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. And my message today is simply entitled, Go to the Ant. And I think we've got a graphic, guys, if you put it up here. I'm a type of person that when I was growing up, when I was in school, I like some type of a illustration. How many of y'all like illustrations? And whenever I have the opportunity to preach, I always try to bring an illustration, and because it keeps y'all's attention a little more. And I remember one time I had a skeleton up here. Y'all remember the skeleton? I had a sand pit over here, and Gunner was over here shoveling all the whole time. And so if I had a way to get a great big ant and bring an ant in here, I would have done that. And when I was considering the thought, go to the ant, and forgive me if this is wrong, but I remember there used to be, and I still watch it, my kids have watched it, there used to be a movie, I think it was in the 80s or 90s, but it was called Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. How many of y'all remember the Honey, I Shrunk the Kid? Y'all remember that? If there's something bad on it, I'm sorry, but I don't think there is. I remember when the kids got shrunk. Y'all remember the story? And they're out there in the yard. They got thrown out in the trash, and then they end up coming through the yard, and they see the great big ant. And I remember the boy actually hopped on it and started riding the ant, and the ant, they thought it was, and then the ant died and all that. And so when I think of considering the ant, that's what comes to, you know what I'm talking about? That's what comes to my mind. That great big ant with the big, you know, fangs and everything. I don't know what you call it. But when I think of that, when the Bible says, consider the ant, I picture that them little kids that were shrunk and they're looking at this giant ant. And that's what comes to my mind. So I tried to find a graphic, something with ants on it. And so go to the ant, right? And consider her ways, the Bible tells us. And so this morning, my message is going to be very practical. This morning's message actually comes from the last 5 or 6 weeks. And next up, I've been teaching our kids and teaching our teens lessons on character. And not just character, and sometimes we think of somebody being a character, but what the Bible and what I believe is defined as Christian character. And although my message is practical, I hope that there's some that there's something that will be said today through Scripture and through the preaching of God's Word that will germinate seeds of thoughts in our minds that will obviously yield fruit of action in our lives, right? That's any time we get up to preach. That's what we're trying to sow, some seeds and to get some germination and have us walk away growing and having a victorious Christian life. My message is for us that are saved this morning, okay? You can't have Christian character if you're not a Christian to begin with, okay? And so if you're not saved, we'll talk about that towards the end. But this morning, as I believe probably 99% of this group here today, we're born again believers, we're a child of the King. We just sang about it, and praise the Lord for that. And so let's look at a lesson this morning considering the ant, considering the ant. The Bible says, go to this ant. He says to consider her ways, to be wise. There's wisdom to be gained from a little tiny insect, a little tiny bug. And I don't know about you, but I hate ants. Every spring and early summer, I feel like we get an infestation of ants in our house and the countertops, the ground, right? And you have to spray and you have to get rid of them. But the Bible tells us, God tells us to look at the ant and to consider this ant. The Bible says in verse 7, has no guide, overseer, or ruler. And even though it has no guide, overseer, or ruler, the Bible says that this ant does what it's supposed to do, and that is to gather food in the summer and to prepare for winter when they cannot go out and get food, right? And we understand that. We would understand that is what the ant does. And the Bible says there's a lesson to be learned for the sluggard. And I'm sure that at some point in our life, we could all probably say, yeah, there's been a time I've been sluggish or I've had a sluggard attitude, right? And so I think this lesson is for all of us today that we could look and say, there's something that I can learn. The Bible addresses the sluggard, but I think we can all learn from this, from one of the smallest creatures on earth, this little tiny ant. And the Bible says that we can learn something from this ant. We can gain wisdom from watching an ant and considering an ant. And you say, what is that lesson? And I'm sure we can talk about work. We can talk about many different things about going out and bringing in and all of that, providing for our families and all that. But the lesson I want to look at today is the ant does what's right without any type of overseer, ruler, or anyone guiding them to do what is right. Right? We do right even when no one is seemingly watching. Right? The ant does not require someone to say, okay, Bob, go over there and get food and bring it back. Right? The ant doesn't communicate like that. The ant just goes. They have one job, and that is to go out to get the food and to bring it into the nest or whatever you call it and to store up for the winter. Right? And so they do what's right even when no one's watching, when no one is on top of them, telling them to do something. And perhaps as we think of the Christian life, as we look at this lesson and we consider the ant and how we ought to do right and we have a job to do no matter whether someone's overseeing us or guiding us or ruling us. We have a job to do. We have a responsibility. And perhaps the purest form of Christianity is when we do right when no one else is watching. Right, we do what's right when even though no one else perhaps cares, right? The purest, perhaps the greatest definition of Christian character as we're looking at that today is doing that which is right or holy, even when no one is watching or no one seemingly cares. So may I say that as a Christian, we ought to be known by our character. Right. And even in our Sunday school class, Brother Mann was teaching and even talked a little bit about while we're out in the job and we have a responsibility and we go to a workplace, we as Christians our employers ought to want Christians to be working for them because of our testimony, because of our work ethic. The life of a Christian ought to be different from that someone who is not a Christian. We should work harder than anyone else works. We should be 100% honest on the job, unlike perhaps some of the others that are not born again believers. We ought to have a testimony of character no matter where we're at, right? That Christian character. Go to the ant, consider her ways, the Bible says, who has no overseer or guide or ruler. They do what's right. They provide and they go out and they get their food and they store it for the winter, even though no one is telling them to do it. And the Bible says we can learn from this morning. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, we don't have to turn there right now. We'll use our Bible here in just a moment. But Proverbs 22 and verse 1, the Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. right? To have a good testimony, to have a good name is priceless, right? You can't, there's no money out there that can buy you a good name. The Bible says it's better, a good name is rather to be chosen. How do we have a good name? By living out biblical Christian character. And now let's go to the book of 1 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel real quickly. And Brother Grant, I was talking with him the other day. He preached chapel this week, and he was in the book of 1 Samuel, and he hit some of the verses that I want to look at today. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 18, 1 Samuel chapter 18, look at verse number 5. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 5, we see three different times in one passage the Bible tells us something about the life of David. And this is young boy David. This is before he's King David. And this is while he's trying to assist Saul with Saul's evil spirit that God put on the life of Saul. And the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 18 and verse 5, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. And the Bible says, and behaved himself what? Wisely. Look down at verse number 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Look at verse 30. The Bible says, and the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after that they went forth that David behaved himself wisely. All right, and we see here that three different times in this passage, and we'll refer back to this passage here in just a little bit, but three different times we see that it is said of David that in his, as a young man, perhaps a teen, the Bible says that he behaved himself wisely. What is that? That is an example of biblical character. Let's go to the book of Daniel real quick. The book of Daniel. And get your Bibles. Let's use our Bibles today. The book of Daniel, chapter number 1. Daniel chapter number 1. Let's look at this life of Daniel this morning as well. Daniel chapter 1. I just want to lay this foundation, and then we'll get into more of the message here in just a moment. But going to the ant to consider her ways, what is it that we can learn as it relates to biblical Christian character we see in the life of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. And look at verse number 8. We know the story of Daniel. He was a slave. He was taken from his home with other Israelites. And they were taken obviously made slaves. But the Bible says in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. We know the story. Daniel was taken into captivity, and they were to be given the king's meat. They were to be given the drink of the wine of the king. And they thought that they could give them that which God had told them they ought not to eat. And not that what they ought not to drink. And we see here that he makes a deal with this the prince of the eunuch here. And we see here that he says, will you allow us to have a trial period, right? If you allow us to eat what we are to eat, if you let us drink what we're supposed to drink and see if we come out better. Look at verse 20. The Bible says, and in all matter of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, talking about Daniel and his friend, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says here that he found them 10 times better than all of the magicians and the astrologers that were in all his realm. Think of that. These were men of character. These were young boys that were taken out of their home, and mom and dad wasn't there to tell them, this is what you ought to do, this is what you're not supposed to eat, this is what you're not supposed to drink. And yet their character kicked in, and they said, King, I'm not supposed to eat this, I'm not supposed to drink this. Will you allow me an opportunity to show you that I can do what's right, and we can be better, and 10 times better than everyone else that drank the meat and drank the wine, right? What's this a picture of? Once again, it's a picture of character. A young man that had character that God blessed, and God allowed him to be found 10 times better than those around. Character is not something you're born with. Now let's lay some foundation. You don't wake up one day and you have character. Right? You don't wake up and say, oh, I just have it all. Right? Character is not something you're born with. Character is a decision. It's a choice that not one time a day, but all day long, we're constantly making a decision of, am I going to choose my flesh, or am I going to choose my spirit? Am I going to do what's right, or am I going to do what's wrong? Am I going to get up out of bed, or am I going to stay asleep? Right? Am I going to go to work on time, or am I going to be late? Right? And we could go on and on about all the different areas of life that we need character. That we need biblical Christian character. A character can be practiced by both men, women. It is something that we can all attain. It's something that we can all live. Whether you're old here this morning, you're young, whether you're a teenager or a child, a character is for all of us. It's something that especially as a child of God, it ought to come a little easier. It ought to be a little more readily available because we've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We've got the Bible that we can run to and we can study and we can learn and we can grow thereby. And so we're looking at this thing. I'm afraid that we live, perhaps, and I'm sure many of you that are even older than I would say, we live in a generation where character is not readily prevalent. It's not out there. A lot of people, how many employers have to go through lists of people, right? How many employers just want someone to show up to work, right? How many times out in the world people call in, they call off, they quit, the things they complain, they gripe, and all of that, right? And it's because of a lack of character. I'm afraid that people choose pleasure over character, right? I mean, how many people perhaps we could even think of, and maybe even our own lives, there's been times that we've chosen pleasure over doing what's right. Daniel, I mean, could you imagine how good the meat of the king would be? I mean, this was probably some good steak that he could have eaten, right? And I mean, the best meat he probably could have ever eaten. And he said, you know what? My pleasure, my flesh says, eat the meat. But my character says that's wrong and I'm not supposed to eat the king's meat. I'm not supposed to drink the king's wine. And we see that his character kicked in and he says, I'm going to choose character over my pleasure. What's the convenient? People choose what's convenient over what's character, right? What's the easiest way around it? How can I do bare minimum? But you know, what's convenient to my life? What's convenient to my schedule over what is right? What is right? What will I get out of it over character, right? How many people say, well, it all depends. What am I going to get out of it? Okay, what kind of what am I going to get? How much am I going to get paid? What is the benefit for me? And if I get what I want, then maybe I'll do it. No, the character says I do what's right, whether I get something out of it or not, right? We do what's right because it's right to do. And I'm afraid even in our churches and perhaps even here, and nobody comes to my mind, but even in churches often are filled with people that are simply pew warmers instead of men and women that have character that say, I want to actively be serving the Lord. Character says we prepare for Sunday, especially those of us with a bunch of children. We prepare the night before. We get ready. We have character. We think ahead. We prepare ourselves so that we're on time on church on Sunday. Character says we plan to arrive early. Character says that Sunday school teachers or bus workers or whatever the case may be, if you have a ministry, junior church workers, that we prepare, we plan, that we don't come in the day of and not know what we're going to teach. We don't know what we're going to what's going to happen, but we're prepared, that we arrive early, that we're ready for our students. And this is all practical things. This is all things that I think we're all aware of, but sometimes we got to be reminded, right? Sometimes we got to be reminded that character is something that is not always what my flesh wants to do, right? My flesh wants to hit the snooze. My flesh wants to take it easy, right? But I must live by character. Character says we come to church whether we feel like it or not, right? Pastor, last week, I believe he talked a little bit about church. Well, he did talk the whole service about the church and the doctrine of the church and talked about that. And sometimes we live in a generation of people, and there's people even perhaps in this room, that, well, it's whether I feel like it. Right? Character says I will fulfill my duties as a Christian and my responsibility despite how I feel. Right? Character says character, and I wrote this down, character triumphs my feelings. Right? If we're living biblically, if we're living spiritually minded, if we're doing what is Christian character, then my Christian character triumphs what my feelings, you know, how I feel. Right? I can't live by my feelings. I can't go, well, I just don't feel like coming to church today. Right? How many times do I not feel like coming to church? Right? How many times do I not feel like doing this or coming to this or doing that? But I can't live by my feelings. I can't live in my feelings. My character, Christian character, triumphs my emotions. Right? How many people live by their emotions? Oh, one day they're happy, one day they're sad, one day they're mad at you, one day they love you. Right? And it's this roller coaster of well, I live by my emotions. Christians ought not to be known by and live in their emotions. Christians ought to be lived, and their life ought to be lived out by character. Okay, by character. Don't live by emotions. Don't live by your feelings, because that's never going to get you anywhere in life. And it's going to cause problems. It's going to cause drama. It's going to cause just confusion. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to have a life, a biblical Christian character. So now as we kind of laid the foundation, let's look. I've got 4 points today, and then we'll conclude with another thought. Like I said, this was 5 or 6 weeks that I've preached in Next Up, and so I had to kind of comb through all of it and kind of bring it into just a few, you know, 30-minute lesson today as it relates to today. And so, so let's look at a few of these examples, okay? So number one, let's go to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter number 39. So I think we've laid the foundation. We understand what Christian character is. We understand how it can be practiced and lived out in our life. But now let's look at some examples. And we've already looked at some, but the Bible's full of people, men and women, have great character that we can learn from. Genesis 39. Genesis chapter number 39. And we know the story. This is the story of Joseph. Joseph has rose to a second in command here in Potiphar's house. And the Bible says, Joseph, verse number 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But look at verse 8, this is where character kicked in. He says, but he refused and said unto the master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what it is with me in his house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. And the Bible says, and we could go on, and we know the story here, how she caught him. Look at verse 12, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. What is this an example of? You say, what's this? This is character in times of temptation. Character and temptation. Joseph, he was somehow, and I don't know how it all went, whether she sought him out, but he's found in the home of Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife had been watching him and had been eyeing him, and she comes to him and thinking, I can tempt him to come lie with me and commit the act of adultery. And obviously, she reaches out, and she entices him, and he says, oh no, I am not to do this. You are my master's wife. I will not do this. And then she came, and she reached out and grabbed his garment, and the Bible says he left it with her, and he took out running, and he fled from out of her presence. And we know what happened and how she ended up lying to Potiphar and how he ended up getting arrested and put into prison. However, we see that he was a man of character. And in the time of his temptation, the Bible says he refused. He refused. I wonder how we are in our times of temptation. The Bible says in Job 31, you don't have to go there, but verse number 1, Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Right? There ought to be things in my life that I made a commitment. There's a covenant, and that I'm not going to break that covenant. I'm not going to break this because we are a man and a lady of character. And that is all. That is how we ought to be living our life. What covenants have we made? What promises have we made to God? I think of the covenant of marriage when you walk down an aisle and you put a ring on your wife's finger and you promise yourself to each other until death do us part. That is a covenant. That is a promise that ought not to be broken. That is something that is sacred. That is something that we say, well, temptation may come. Other people may try to get us here like in the life of Joseph. But he says, I refuse. I refuse. We need men and women to say, you know, I'm going to refuse the temptation. I'm going to run away from temptation. Perhaps it's alcohol or drugs or whether other things in our life that I remember years ago as a young boy, I remember coming up here on the platform and hearing a message about alcohol. And I remember coming up here if you remember that day, we had cans of alcohol up here that were empty. They were just cans and trash. And the pastor asked us to come and to make a covenant that we'll never allow alcohol to touch our lips. And I remember coming up here stomping on the can saying, I promise I'll never drink alcohol. And here I am 31 years of age, and it's not for my honor or my glory, but I made a promise to God I'm not going to allow alcohol to touch my lips. And here I am 31 years of age, and I can say alcohol's never touched my lips. And that's to the glory of God. That is to God's honor and his glory, but that's because I made a decision, and I'm not going to break a covenant that I made with God. All right, and we could talk about alcohol, we could talk about drugs and cigarettes, all these things that oftentimes get in our way and could be a temptation, whether it's music or whatever the case may be. The Bible says that if we make a covenant, and just like Job did with his eyes, that he was not going to think upon a maid, how much more should we say, you know what, there's things in my life, and I don't care what the temptation is, but I made a covenant. I have a promise to a lady, and I have a promise to a God, and I must commit myself and obey this over what my feelings or over what my emotions tell me to do, right? Men of and women of biblical character. Character and temptation. Let's go to the book of Job. Oh, this was a man that went through some things. Oh, let's look at Job. Where's Job at? Let's find it. Here we go. Job chapter number 2. Job chapter number 2. God just helped me find it. I didn't have it marked, and I flipped over, and I turned right to the page. That was a God moment. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Job chapter number 2. Job chapter number 2. Let's look at it. We got to quickly and go quickly now. Job chapter number 2, and look at verse number 9. Job 2. And verse number 9, the Bible says, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips." Look back at chapter 1 and verse 21. The Bible says, this is Job speaking, and he says, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What's this a picture of? This is character and our trials. Every one of us are going to face trials in our life. Every single one of us are going to have valleys in our life, whether it's a financial collapse, whether it's health failures, and maybe it's a loved one that passes, or whether it's even in this story of Job, your own wife says, "Just curse God and die." What kind of a wife was that, right? She says, "Just give up. Curse God. Give it up, Job." And he says, "No." He says, "I have integrity, and because of that, I'm not going to allow this trial to cause me to fall out of my character and fall out of mine integrity." May I say, in the life of Job, we see character retains integrity. Character retains integrity. I think of a soldier. Obviously, today's Veterans Day, and many of you perhaps have even been out in a time of war, and you were trained. You must learn to live and act in character in battle, not by your emotions and in your feelings, right? We need soldiers that are prepared mentally and physically to get out there to fight and to do what's right, even in adverse times, and even with the enemy out there and trials and problems all around you. You got to have the mindset of, "Well, I've been trained for this moment. I know what to do. I know how to react because of what I've been taught." And as a child of God, as a believer in Christ, we have a word of God that should dictate our life. And in the moments of our confusion, in the moment of our trials, in the moments of our temptation, we know how to react. We know how to respond because we have learned, and we have put it. The Bible says we have hidden God's word in our heart, that we what? Might not sin against God. Let's look real quickly, and I'm not going to make you turn. I'll just turn there. But the Bible says in Daniel. And I'm already there. There we go. Look, Daniel chapter number 6. Let's look at another one. And this is now the story. We looked at Daniel a moment ago, but now let's look as he's an older man, and the Bible says that he's thrown into a den of lions, right? We know the story. Daniel chapter number 6 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "And the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and all the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute." And the Bible says, "And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." Right? We know the story how these men conspired, and they went to the king and said, "Give us 30 days. 30 days. If anyone prays to another god except you, O king, they're going to be thrown into the lion's den." Right? Daniel was the friend of the king, all right? But they got him, they convinced him into signing this decree. They buttered him up, right? And they said, "Sign right here," and he signed it. And what did they do? They go over and they find Daniel. And look at verse number 10. "Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went to his house. And his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." What's this a picture of? This is character in testing. Character and his testing, right? This is a man that said, "You know what? I've done this. This is what God tells me to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to pray." And just because someone wrote a law, just because they signed a decree, is not going to dictate what I do, because I know what's right. Right is always right. And no matter who says, it's not, right? And Daniel said, "Even if the king signed this decree, I'm going to go to my window. I'm going to open it facing Jerusalem, and I'm going to get on my knees 3 times a day, just like I did the day before." This is character in our testing. We're all going to face testing, whether it's spiritually, whether it's a position, maybe it's your job, it's the pressures of life. And many times under the pressure of life, we can explode, right? We can vent, we can explode. And we ought not to live like that. We ought to be a man and a lady of character that says, you know what? Just like Daniel said, you know what? This is what was right. I'm going to live out even in my time of testing. So we see character in our temptations, character in our trials, character in our testing. And then lastly here, number four, and we've already looked at it, so I'm not going to make you go back. But we see here the life of David. David, three different times in that scripture, in Daniel 18, he behaved himself wisely. And I read another verse earlier at the beginning. The Bible says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, right? And this would be number four, character in our testimony. Right? How do you respond to situation? How do people think? What do people think when they see you? Right? What comes to mind? There used to be a song, "When the world looks at me, what do they see?" Right? When people look at you, right? When people look and they hear your name, what comes to mind? Is it someone that is kind? Is it someone that's a believer? Is it someone that is generous? Someone that is faithful? Someone, whatever, we could fill it in. But or is it, oh, they're just they're the gossip. They're mean. They're angry. They're bipolar. Right? We go down the list of things. As a child of God, we ought to live to have a good testimony. We ought to behave ourselves wisely. How do we respond to situation? If we were like David, if we go back to that story, and that's what Brother Grant preached about in chapel on Wednesday, that's the chapter that David's already been anointed king. He's already killed Goliath. And now Saul wants him to come and to play his harp. And what happens? A javelin gets thrown at him, right? Saul promises him the daughter. And then right before they get married, he takes her and gives her to another man. Right? I mean, David was not having, fleshly, you know, earthly minded, David's not having, I mean, how many want us to have a javelin thrown at us? Right? How many of us want to be promised to a woman and then her dad says no? Right? I mean, it was not a good time in David's life, but yet he says, and David knew he was anointed king as well. Right? He's the anointed king. He knows the throne is going to be his, but he behaved himself wisely. He didn't go up, well, why are you throwing stuff at me? Don't you know I'm supposed to be the next king? Right? What happened? Why'd you take my wife from me? Right? He didn't behave like that. He behaved himself wisely. How are we as believers in Christ? My message is simple today, church. My message is to push that reset button on how are we known here in the community? And what is your testimony like around the people that you come in contact with? We ought to be known as a child of God. We ought to be known as men and women of great character, that we don't live out in our emotions. We don't live out in our feelings, but we do right because it's what's right to do. God expects and desires of us to be men and women of biblical character. In closing, I want to leave us just with one little thought to kind of tie the ribbon on this and leave it, okay? I want us to, because this is what I've been teaching the teens, and I like to give a practical thought, and this is how I try to respond, and I'm not perfect. God knows I react in emotions and feelings, I'm sure, more times than I desire, but when I run it through these two verses, this is the filter. I tell the teenagers the last few weeks, every decision, every thought, every emotion, every feeling you feel, run it through these two verses, okay? So let's look at these two verses, and we'll be finished, all right? It's 11:46, all right? Here we go. Let's go, all right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. The two verses, maybe you need to write them out, put them on your fridge, put them on your dash of your car, whatever the case may be. These two verses are what, when I'm faced with a decision, right, and when I'm faced with a feeling or I'm faced with whatever in life, and it's a time where my character, am I going to live out my character or am I going to live out in my feelings or my emotions, whatever the case may be. Look at 1 Corinthians. These are all verses we very well know. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. The Bible says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of" who? God. Say the verse with me, church. Ready? Begin. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Everything I do as a believer in God, as a believer in Christ Jesus, I am to do everything, whether I'm eating or drinking or whatsoever I do, it ought to bring God glory. So one of the filters I'm running my decision is this decision and what I'm about to do, is it going to bring glory to God? at what I'm about to watch or what I'm about to listen to or what I'm about, this act, whatever the case it is this going to bring glory to God or is it going to be not bring him glory? Right? Is what I'm going to do, does it bring glory to God? That should be filter number one. Flip the page, 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is what a man and lady of character, they say, does this act, does this decision, will it bring honor to God, glory to God? And number two, look at 1 Corinthians 14. The teens already know where I'm going. They can go to sleep. All right, 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 40, the last verse. Let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things, if your life is not decently and in order, okay, then you're not living out Christian character. Okay, if your life is chaos, if you're on your way to church and it's chaos and confusing, okay, that's not the way Christ desires. God says, two filters. I'm going to run everything through these two filters. Is it going to bring God glory? Is this decision going to bring God's glory? Is this new job going to bring God glory? And what I'm about to do, is it going to bring God glory? And is this done decently and in order? If we run our lives through these two things, if our home is done decently and in order, if our life is to bring glory and all the acts that we do during our days to bring glory to God, I promise you, you'll see a life that begins to be transformed, that your life will begin to prosper, that you'll have a name of character, a name, a reputation, a testimony of someone who is living out biblical character. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. And that is the message today. And perhaps it's just a nugget of truth. Perhaps it's just a reminder for some of us to say, you know what, there's maybe a few things I'm slipping. Maybe there's an area in my life that's not decently and in order. Maybe there's a thing in my life that's not bringing God glory. Let's clean it up. Let's get it right today. That's the message. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you for this truth. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, men and women in my life that have taught me. Lord, like I said, character is not something we're just born with. It's something we got to be taught. And Lord, I ask that today, maybe someone's hearing it for the first time. Maybe today someone says, you know, I didn't know Christians supposed to act and have a testimony and not live out in my feelings and emotions. And Lord, maybe today's a day that, Lord, their life can begin to be transformed by your strength and by your help. And Lord, maybe today's just a reminder. Maybe today's just a day that, Lord, we need to push a reset button in an area in our life. And I ask that the decisions would be made. Lord, I love you. I thank you so much for all that you've done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. I know we didn't have anyone raise their hand for as being a guest today, but I do want to ask. You'll never have Christian character if you're not a Christian to begin with. And so I want to ask this morning, how many of you say this morning, Brother Kidwell, I know that I'm on my way to heaven. There's been a time in my life that I've been born again. And I'll raise my hand as a testimony and say, Brother Kidwell, I know that I'm on my way to heaven. Raise your hand. Put your hand up. Let me see it. I put your hands down. How many of you say this morning, Brother Kidwell, I do not know if I died today that I would go to heaven. I don't know. No one's ever shown me from the Bible how I could go to heaven. Is there anyone like that? I wouldn't want you to come to our church and leave and not know. Anyone like that? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. All right, by your own testimony, we're all born again believers. Let's make sure that we're living life. Let's go to the ant. Let's consider her ways and become wise. Heavenly Father, bless this time of invitation. We'll love you. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all